The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Good morning. Welcome to Christ Church Cathedral, especially if you're visiting with us. A welcome to you. If you're with us by way of the YouTube live stream, we welcome you. And if you're listening in to the Cathedral audio podcast, we welcome you as well. Will you be seated for a moment, please? There are various notices and announcements in the leaflet, and I'll leave those to you. I might just mention that those who are here with younger children, that you're reminded that if you need to get up and wander around a bit, that's quite all right. There are some items in the back corner that might serve as a distraction for some who would need that. We just want you to know that we are glad that you are here. When it comes time to make communion, if you're baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and are accustomed to making communion in your home church, you're welcome to do so here. At that time, we'll form two lines up the center and return to your seats by the side, and that will facilitate our movement. We are not practicing intinction at the moment, that is the dipping of the host in the wine. So if it's not your intention to make communion in both kinds, that is the bread and the wine, simply take the bread and just pass by the chalice. Also, if you'd rather just receive a blessing, crossing your arms this way, we'll let the administrators know that that is your request. And if you need a gluten-free host, please just ask for it. We have those available as well. This past week, we were saddened to hear of the death of Lois McKinnon. Lois is Leah Perry's mom, and Lois went into palliative care about a week and a half ago, and early in the week she died. So our condolences to Leah and to other members of their family. Lois was from Ottawa, and there will be a funeral at a later date in Ottawa. So if you could just remember Leah and her siblings in your prayers, that would be appreciated. Our director of music and organist Thomas Gonder is not with us again this morning. Thomas has some health issues, requests that we continue to remember him in our prayers. Our thanks to Catherine McDonald, who has stepped in this morning. So thank you, Catherine. And as always, to members of the choir for your continued musical support. And as I say, we'll continue to pray for Thomas at this time. Giving Tuesday was a success for us this year. Of course, it was December the 1st, but we continued the campaign and intend to finish it up today. So we had made a commitment of $2,000 to Montgomery Street School for their home and school food and clothing program. And up to last Thursday, so that's a couple of days ago, we were at about $1,900. So we've reached almost that $2,000 commitment. Certainly our thanks for all who made contributions to that. It's a great opportunity for us to reach out and to make a difference. So thank you for your help. Also, just a note that once again, that there is a stewardship study that will commence at the beginning of the year. And I'm looking for a small group to walk with me through the sessions of that study, about seven of them. And tuition will be covered, I think, within the cathedral. So that won't be necessarily a concern. I'm still seeking expressions of interest. So if that's something that you're interested in, please talk to Kurt or myself, and we'd be happy to give you more information. Or take a look on the website, and there's more information there. Also, this coming week, on Wednesday, we'll begin the Faith Alive, which is preparation for confirmation, reaffirmation, or reception. And again, if that's something that you're interested in, you're encouraged to speak to Kurt or to myself. And we're going to have one session this month, and then probably about every other week starting in the new year. And that'll be probably 9 or 10 sessions preparing for confirmation at Easter time. You'll notice in your leaflet again today is the form for congregational information. And so if something has changed with you, or if you believe that you're not currently on the congregational list and would like to be, if you could fill that out and either place it on the offering plate, hand it to a greeter at the back, or drop it into the office, that would be appreciated. And just a final thing is that there will be a Christmas pastoral letter that will be sent later this week. And with the continuing postal strike, it's going to be impossible for us to deliver about a couple of dozen of those by way of Canada Post. But we can do that by hand. So Gail actually has some bundles that are bundled according to location and would not necessarily be too difficult to just go into the neighborhood and drop the two or three that are in the bundle. So we did get rid of some of them at 8 o'clock, and I think we've got probably about 15 or so left. And the neighborhoods that are identified, Hanwell Road area, there are a few Shannex addresses, which are Patients Lane and up that way. I think we have one on the north side. I don't know anybody that lives on the north side, but I'm sure we could probably look after that. And if that's something that you'd like to help out with, Gail McGilvery would be happy to talk to you afterwards. And I think that is just about everything. I see somebody pointing over here, which means that there might be something else. I think that something could be that today is Roberta Lee's birthday. So, Bert, happy birthday to you. Can we sing happy birthday to you? You wouldn't mind, would you? Okay, well, happy birthday, and we'll sing.
Happy birthday to you. Happy
thank you all. We didn't even think to ask if it was someone else's birthday today. But I'm sure they wouldn't tell us even if it was. Is there anything else that needs announcing? Yes. Oh, very good. Excellent. You've had a good diagnosis. You are welcome. Anything else? We're worshiping today according to the Book of Common Prayer, and we're going to begin with the lighting of the candles of the Advent wreath. So I'll ask those who have signed up for that, if they will. That's Victoria and Cameron and Michael. And you'll find that on the back page of your bulletin. As we begin, I'll ask you to stand.
Dear Today is the third Sunday of Advent. We join with the writers of the Bible in shouting of joy that God is always with us. The child of Mary brought a message of compassion and healing, the things that make for real joy. That joy spreads as we follow Jesus' words and actions.
The first Advent candle reminds us to have hope for a better world. The second Advent candle reminds us that God's dreams for peace can become real in our world.
Today we light the third Advent candle. It reminds us that God calls us to be a part of the healing of the world, to bring real joy.
Dear God, so many people need your healing and hope. In the season of giving and on every day of the year, help us to say and do those things that will help bring God's compassion and caring to all. Amen.
Common prayer on page 67. As you kneel, let us pray. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts be open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify thy holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. And over on page 69, our Lord Jesus Christ said, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.
Lord, have mercy upon us, and grant both these thy laws in our hearts. We beseech thee. Again to celebrate the coming of your Son.
Remove those things which hinder love of you, that when he comes, he may find us waiting in awe and wonder for him who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
A reading from the prophet Zephaniah. Sing aloud, O daughter Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall fear disaster no more. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, "Do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exult over you with loud singing as on a day of festival. I will remove disaster from you so that you will not bear reproach for it. I will deal with all your oppressors at that time. And I will save the lame and gather the outcast. And I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time, I will bring you home, at the time when I gather you, for I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord." Here ends the lesson.
The response to the first lesson is the Canticle Song of Thanksgiving. You'll find that on the insert in your bulletin. As we continue seated, the congregational refrain that we'll use at the indicated places, "Ring out your joy, for the Holy One of Israel is in your midst." Surely it is God who saves me. I will trust in him and not be afraid. For the Lord is my stronghold and my sure defense, and he will be my Savior. Ring out your joy, for the Holy One of Israel is in your midst. Therefore you shall draw water with rejoicing from the springs of salvation, and on that day you shall say, "Give thanks to the Lord and call upon his name. Make his deeds known among the peoples. See that they remember that his name is exalted." Ring out your joy, for the Holy One of Israel is in your midst. Sing the praises of the Lord, for he has done great things, and this is known in all the world. Cry aloud, inhabitants of Zion, ring out your joy, for the Great One in the midst of you is the Holy One of Israel. Ring out your joy, for the Holy One of Israel.
A reading from Paul's letter to the Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by praise and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Here ends the second lesson.
Oh, yeah.
Holy Gospel is written in the third chapter of the Gospel according to St. Luke, beginning at the seventh verse. John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now, the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds asked him, "What then should we do?" In reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share one with one who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what should we do?" And he said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages." As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people, the Gospel of Christ.
So with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Ring out your joy, for the Holy One of Israel is in your midst. In the midst of the gloomiest, certainly the darkest month of the calendar year, is this celebration of Advent and Christmas. That's no mistake. The twinkling lights of this season, at least in our northern hemisphere, are intended to sparkle against the background of seasonal darkness. In the midst of the sometimes perceived doom and gloom of Advent, out jumps this pink candle on the wreath, signaling joy, even though the longest night, the darkest day this year, is just around the corner. And as is the case every year, there are the comments on internet forums by those who feel it's important one more time to state the facts of historical research they've discovered, with evidence that Jesus was actually not born on the 25th of December after all. For them, the argument goes, that's just one more reason they don't believe religious rubbish in the first place, and neither should you. Unfortunately, those who insist on such precision and factual absolutes have already missed the point of religious observance in any case. Still, I'll bet they will be found sipping a bit of eggnog and even humming a Christmas carol or two this year. Well, Paul tells the Christians in Philippi to rejoice. Again, I say, rejoice. These words are penned from Paul's prison cell. While we can't be sure just what dampened Philippi's Christians' joy, we do know a bit of what threatens ours. We have loved ones battling all kinds of illness. Many of us worry and pray that the horrors of war in Ukraine, now also on Russian soil, won't lead to worldwide annihilation. War in the Middle East, the homeland of our faith and our Lord, continues to rage on. We live in an economy pushed to its limits, making even basic survival a challenge for many who are on the edges of society. The effects of climate change and humanity's past overindulgence in energy use is a growing problem. And I could go on. There's lots to fear. That is, if we want to make fear our friend. But even in shackles, St. Paul says, rejoice. How? Why? The reason Paul gives is the Lord is near. This is another of those instances where the nuance of a word can sometimes make all the difference. That four-letter word, near, easily goes quickly by. Near. As it turns out, the Greek word there is used in two different ways, much the same as it is in English. Both are implied by the original language. Near can refer to time, soon, chronological time, the time marked and measured by seconds, minutes, and hours. Waiting for most of us is first a matter of chronological time. But the Greek language also has a word for time used in another way. Kairos is qualitative time. It refers to the good and proper moment. Kairos is the right time. If time is only sequential for us, as in marked time, we can find it very difficult to experience true joy. And I'm going to say that again. If time is only sequential for us, as in marked time, then we can find it very difficult to experience true joy. There's always a reason for the candle of joy to be extinguished. If the time we seek to perceive is Kairos, we don't need to wait for it. Everything doesn't need to be perfect for us to celebrate the moment. Kairos is found in the present moment, but we need to slow down in order to perceive it. Most of us these days are running far too fast to detect the qualitative Kairos moment. And so when something is near, it can mean soon, but near also refers to geography. Close by, spatially near. Paul could mean either here, but more likely he meant both. The Lord is near, close by, present, at hand. That seems to be a reason, as far as Paul's concerned, to rejoice. Even in our darkest hour, a flickering flame of joy can burn brightly. And that's because the Lord is near. Despite all that's wrong in all of our worlds, this can be the right and proper time. That the Lord is near is a common Advent theme as we wait and look for the Lord's coming. The fiery preaching of John the Baptist is a tirade about venomous snakes, axes at the root of trees, winnowing forks, and unquenchable fire. Implicit in his message is that judgment is near. Judgment is coming soon. The crowds, soldiers, tax collectors, filled with expectation, ask, "And what should we do?" And John offers a baptism of repentance. Not much joy in that gospel passage, you might say. And in all of this, Luke says, John proclaimed the good news to the people. The good news to the people. And I would suggest that that's not a misprint. What Paul is saying is that regardless of their circumstances, Jesus' followers can celebrate that Christ is near. In other words, that something will happen soon, whether for individuals or for the whole world. However, we can also revel in knowing that Christ, by his Spirit, is already near, helping his followers to, among other things, marvel at God's goodness. Implicit in Paul's invitation to rejoice in the Lord is a summons to slow down enough to contemplate the character and actions of the God whom we worship in Jesus Christ. After all, it can be hard to rejoice in the Lord when we move too quickly to notice the things of God. It can even be hard to meditate on who God is as we spend time in this season busily celebrating Christ's first coming and paying very little attention to the second, or how he is present even now. So today may be an especially appropriate time for Christians to remind ourselves that slowing down enough to deliberately contemplate things like God's grace, God's patience and mercy, that contemplation is an invitation for us to also celebrate them. Our careful discernment of all the ways God blesses us leads us to marvel at it all, waiting in awe and wonder, as the collect for today says. In this fast-paced season of gatherings and celebrations, this Sunday scripture invites us to look for ways to pause long enough to revel in the wonder of the Incarnation. In the maroon-colored Book of Common Prayer, I invite you to turn with me to page 71, and as we stand, confess our faith in the Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, through whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. As we have opportunity, let us do good unto all people, and especially unto them that are of the household of faith. Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, forever and ever. All that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. All things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee.
Let us pray for Christ's Holy Catholic Church. Let us pray for Christians throughout the world, for the Anglican Communion, for Justin, Archbishop of Canterbury. Today we're invited to pray for the church in Africa, in Tanzania, and for the primate and Metropolitan Archbishop Miambo Maduela, Bishop of Tanga. We're invited to pray for the Anglican Church in Canada, for Anne, our acting primate, for the process of electing a new one. We're asked to pray for the Diocese of Western Newfoundland, Bishop John Organ, for the province of Canada, for David, our Bishop Metropolitan, and for the church in this diocese, for Christ Church Cathedral Congregation, for our ministry in this city, our witness to Jesus. Let us pray for peace on earth. Remember those places in our world that do not enjoy peace. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, peace in the Middle East. Remember particularly today Christians in Syria with a change in government there and increased oppression of Christians. And for peace in Ukraine, Russia, in Myanmar, Afghanistan, in Haiti, and so many other places in our world that do not enjoy that peace and that quiet that we enjoy here. Pray for this country, for our province, for our city. Pray for peace, for the unity of all Christian people, missionaries at home and abroad, remembering Karen Nelson Mejia, South American Missionary Society, and their work in Honduras, Canon Paul Jeffries, canon of this cathedral, and his work at McAllister College and School in Uganda, for our connection to St. Hilda's School in Georgeville, Belize. Pray for those of our brothers and sisters who are in special need of our prayer today, remembering those who are on our congregational prayer list, and praying particularly for Thomas Gondor. Pray too for those who have departed this life and are at rest, remembering Lois McKinnon, also Ted Walton, Margaret Kerr, others known to us. Let us pray for the whole state of Christ Church militant here on earth, sitting or kneeling as you choose. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, who by thy holy apostle has taught us to make prayers and supplications and to give thanks for all, we humbly beseech thee most mercifully to accept our alms and oblations, and to receive these our prayers, which we offer unto thy divine majesty, beseeching thee to inspire continually the universal church with the spirit of truth, unity, and concord, and grant that all they that do confess thy holy name may agree in the truth of thy holy word and live in unity and godly love. We beseech thee also to lead all nations in the way of righteousness, and so to guide and direct their governors and rulers, that thy people may enjoy the blessings of freedom and peace. Grant to thy servant Charles, our king, to all that are put in authority under him, that they may truly and impartially administer justice to the maintenance of thy true religion and virtue. Give grace, O Heavenly Father, to all bishops, priests, and deacons, especially to thy servants David, our bishop, Jeffrey, our dean, and Debbie, our deacon, that they may, both by their life and doctrine, set forth thy true and living word, and rightly and duly administer thy holy sacraments. Prosper, we pray thee, all those who proclaim the gospel of thy kingdom among the nations, and to all thy people give thy heavenly grace, especially to this congregation here present, that with meek heart and due reverence they may hear and receive thy holy word, truly serving thee in holiness and righteousness all the days of their life. We most humbly beseech thee of thy goodness, O Lord, to comfort and succor all them who in this transitory life are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity, especially those for whom our prayers are desired. We remember before thee, O Lord, all thy servants departed this life in thy faith and fear, and we bless thy holy name for all who in life and death have glorified thee, that beseeching thee to give us grace that rejoicing in their fellowship, we may follow their good examples and with them be partakers of thy heavenly kingdom. Grant this, O Father, for Jesus Christ's sake, our only mediator and advocate, to whom with thee and the Holy Ghost be all honor and glory, world without end. Amen.
Ye that do truly and earnestly repent you of your sins and are in love and charity with your neighbors and intend to lead the new life, following the commandments of God and walking from henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith and take this holy sacrament to your comfort and make your humble confession to Almighty God. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, maker of all things, judge of all men, we acknowledge and confess our manifold sins and wickedness, which we from time to time most grievously have committed, by thought, word, and deed, against thy divine majesty. We do earnestly repent, and are heartily sorry for these our misdoings. Have mercy on us. For thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may ever hereafter serve and please thee in newness of life, to the honor and glory of thy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our heavenly Father, who of his great mercy hath promised forgiveness of sins to all them that with hearty repentance and true faith turn unto him, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And the Thanksgiving and Consecration on page 78.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto our Lord God.
It is meet and right, so
blessing and glory and thanksgiving be unto thee, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of thy great Of thy tender mercy didst give thine only Son, Jesus Christ, to take our nature upon him and to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made there by his one oblation of himself once offered a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice, oblation, and satisfaction for the sins of the whole world, and did institute and in his holy gospel command us to continue a perpetual memorial of that his precious death until his coming again. Hear us, O merciful Father, we most humbly beseech thee, and grant that we, receiving these thy creatures of bread and wine, according to thy Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ's holy institution, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his most blessed body and blood, who in the same night that he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of this, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this as oft as ye shall drink it in remembrance of me." Wherefore, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, we, thy humble servants, with all thy holy church, remembering the precious death of thy beloved Son, his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, and looking for his coming again in glory, do make before thee in this sacrament of the holy bread of eternal life and the cup of everlasting salvation the memorial which he hath commanded. And we entirely desire thy fatherly goodness mercifully to accept this our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, most humbly beseeching thee to grant that by the merits and death of thy Son, Jesus Christ, and through faith in his blood, we and all thy whole church may obtain remission of our sins and all other benefits of his passion. And we pray that by the power of thy Holy Spirit, all we who are partakers of this holy communion may be fulfilled with thy grace and heavenly benediction, through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory be unto thee, O Father Almighty, world without end. Amen. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you. We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table. But thou art the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. Amen.
Take us away, the sin of the world. Have mercy.
Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness and put upon us the armor of light, now in the time of this mortal life in which your Son, Jesus Christ, came to visit us in great humility. That on the last day, when he shall come again in his glorious majesty to judge both the living and the dead, we may rise to the life immortal through him who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Spirit, ever one God, world without end. Amen. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen.
Let us depart in peace. Alleluia. In the